Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. So what am I going to talk about today? Well, this just came up on the Drudge Report. Jesse Jackson, subject of gay harassment complaint. I'll repeat it again. Jackson, subject of gay harassment complaint. I must repeat that this is a story. The complaint is not a lawsuit against the fine reverend. The good reverend Jesse Jackson Sr., who has always put the interests of America first, who has never, ever tried to benefit from the civil rights movement, but nevertheless a former employee of the Reverend, the Most Reverend, Jesse Jackson Sr. at the Rainbow Push Coalition, not to be confused with the Rainbow Bush Coalition, has filed a bombshell wrongful termination and discrimination complaint against the civil rights leader with the City of Chicago's Commission on Human Rights. The complaint filed sometime last year by Tommy R. Bennett, a regular on a radio show and member of Barack Obama's LGBT Leadership Council, includes shocking details about Jackson's behavior toward the openly gay staffer, including a suggestion that the civil rights leader may have propositioned him. Again, we cannot confirm or deny any of this. I'm reading you straight out from the article. The article just came out moments ago, and we're reading it to you from NBCChicago.com on the Drudge Report. Bennett, 55, claims Jackson ridiculed him in front of other employees and required him to perform humiliating tasks like escorting women to Jackson's various hotel rooms. Well, I guess, look, if you're a civil rights leader and you believe in the rights of women, you've got to escort strange women to your hotel rooms in order to consult with them and give them an opportunity at the prize. Cleaning up after alleged trysts and packing his clothing. This is disgusting, but it also includes a suggestion that Jackson may have asked for oral sex. Jackson could not be reached for comment after multiple attempts by NBC Chicago, but his legal representatives did respond to the complaint in July. Bennett also was not commented to NBC Chicago. Bennett worked for the Rainbow Push Coalition for more than 2 years as the National Director of Community Affairs. The complaint states that Bennett endured a string of discriminatory treatment from multiple supervisors, but his protests were met with deaf ears. Anyway, you get the picture. It's dirty. It's salacious. It's made for the news media. That's why I'm reading it to you. Bennett's complaint requests back and front pay, compensation for emotional distress, and punitive damages for about $450,000. Bennett also wants an amendment to the civil rights organization's non-discrimination policy to include sexual orientation and gender identity. Jackson, a former presidential candidate, has been married to his wife, Jacqueline Lavinia Brown, since 1962, but has had bouts with infidelity. One affair with a staffer resulted in the birth of a girl in 1999. But again, if you're a civil rights leader and you believe in the rights of women and children, it's good to have a lot of women around and occasionally have an extra child or two. That's the nature of the business. Anyway, take it or leave it. Jackson's subject of gay harassment complaint. Complaint is not a lawsuit. We're reading directly from an article on the Drudge Report. And now to the news. See, that's not news. You get it? It would be news if it was a Republican. You wouldn't hear the end of it. If it was a Republican, he would have retired already, resigned. Who was that Republican 3 weeks ago who took a picture of him without a shirt on? He emailed it to somebody. He had to quit the next day. But if you're a civil rights leader, I guess, you know, well, two legs good, four legs bad. Some animals are more equal than others and all of that. And now on to the news. More Americans leaving the workforce. Did you hear this story? You're not going to believe it. Only 45% of Americans had jobs in 2010. 45% of Americans had jobs in 2010. So that means 55% of the country consists of non-working people. Now, how in the world can this country survive when less than one out of two are supporting the other half of the country? It's impossible. So I'm going to ask you a question. Who in your family is able-bodied but not working? Perhaps you have an adult son who is 25 years of age and living at home, wears a hairnet all day as he feasts on mommy's cookies before going out partying at the night. Well, of course, he's networking all day looking for a job. He is on the internet with his buddies, and in between talking about where they're going to go that evening, he's networking while wearing his hairnet. And do you have an? And he's certainly qualified for Obamacare, because Nancy Pelosi wanted to make certain that your adult children could get Obamacare until they're 26 or 27, as it was done in Italy for centuries, I guess. Actually, decades. I don't think they had health care in Italy prior to the advent of the social welfare net in Italy, and you know how well that worked out. 1-800, I can see already this is going over like a, you're not interested in Jackson? You're not interested in, what did I just say already? What did I, the number of people working no one's interested in? Let's see what I can stimulate you with. Or I'll tell you what, we'll go to this one. My dog is locked out of the studio and he's barking and it's disturbing me. I went in and out of my studio so many times tonight before I started, I forgot I locked Teddy out. So I have to put up with him barking. It's giving me like a double agita. A double agita, because I want to be on the air and I want to let the dog in. And I'll tell you truthfully, I think the dog is more important than being on the microphone. Teddy, hold on a minute. I'm on the air. 1-800-449-8. Where's the article, Art? The MP3 of me saying Obama's peeing down our back and calling it rain, like from yesterday. Where is that story? Got buried? Got buried somewhere on the site? Shortage of ADHD drugs gives parents the jitters. Oh, my God. Nationwide shortage of drugs used to subdue children and turn them into animals to treat the fake ADD and the faker ADHD are sending parents who shouldn't even be parents scrambling, with some combing multiple pharmacies. The parents themselves are drug addicts, in my opinion. Spillionaires are the new rich after BP oil spill payouts. $16 billion spread around amongst the shrimp fishermen. Let's see, 1-800-449-8255. FAA's air traffic chief quits. Air traffic control, you hear? In between the internet porn and the pizza, they had time to land a plane. Marijuana causes global warming, uses 1% of U.S. electricity. People growing marijuana indoors use 1% of the U.S. electricity supply, and they create 17 million metric tons of carbon dioxide every year. The greens are, I guess they're not green. The greens are black. We mean that, of course, in the sense of global warming. Don't take me right away to the Civil Rights Commission. Please don't take me to the commission. Christians begin to flee Egypt. Thank you, Anderson Cooper, you piece of garbage, you. Christians begin to flee Egypt. Thank you, Anderson Cooper, you piece of garbage, you. Christians are fleeing Egypt. Thank you, Anderson Cooper, and you other vermin in the media who said it was all young people with dungarees and blackberries who simply wanted freedom. No, the 8 to 10 million Christians are looking for a way to get out, as the throwback Islamists are taking advantage of the revolution caused by Anderson Cooper and the other vermin in the liberal media who should be held up on war crimes charges. He said, if I had the power, I would take that, I would try them for war crimes for what they did to Mubarak and what they're doing to the Middle East. Who in your family is able-bodied but not working? Only 45% of Americans have jobs. That means 55% of them don't have jobs. That means you're carrying someone on your back. So who's in your back? Or do you want to talk about Mr. Reverend Jackson's? Where is this thing about the pee on my back and calling it rain? Didn't make it, Art? Not up yet? Supposed to be here and on the other side. I'll be right back. Savage. Obama, you can't pee on our backs and call it rain is a website piece that we produced for you from yesterday's show. It's up on michaelsavage.com. It's an old Russian saying, is that you can't pee on our backs and call it rain, or don't pee on my back and call it rain. Let's say someone is trying to con you. You go to buy, a General Motors car, and they tell you it's better than a Mercedes. You say to the salesman, please don't pee on my back and call it rain. I'm giving you an example. It's actually benign. It's actually cute. Well, yesterday I said Obama stood up there and peed on the backs of most middle Americans, at least the most productive Americans, to try to tell us it was raining. And it was really good. It should be featured on every website in the United States of America. But, of course, I'm a one-man act, so it's on michaelsavage.com for your listening and viewing pleasure. We'll play it for you later. And as to why we can't eat the rich to solve our budget crisis, we're going to deal with that today. But when you consider that only 45% of Americans are working, that means 55% of Americans are not working. And I asked you, who in your family is able-bodied but not working? Because I knew that would get your goat. I'll take your calls now. Maine, Dana, you're on the air. Who in your family is not working?
Hi. First, let me start with my ex-wife. I'm 53. We broke up when I was about 25. She's
wow.
been on Section 8 ever since.
What? 30 years on Section 8?
Section 8. It's a thing. It's a welfare thing.
No, I know what it is. It gets Section 8 housing. 30 years she's been on the dole?
Yeah.
And she doesn't work? Never worked?
No. And I got three daughters. One of them's married, has a couple of kids, and they both work. And my other two, one of them's on unemployment, has been for a year and a half, and claims she's going to be for another year, I guess.
And, so I take it that you're not going to have a nice Easter dinner together.
What's that?
I take it you're not all going to have a nice Easter dinner together next Sunday.
No, one of my daughters, I don't even talk to her. They give her a free methadone. They give her
Oh, God, there's nothing funny about that. It's sad you have a real, you know, you talk about a tragic family situation. You yourself are working, Dana?
Yeah, I got two jobs.
And do you still have to pay her child support?
No, I've already done with that. I paid all my child support, and, you know, I'm proud that I
How does that work? I mean, you reach a point, you pay it off? It's like a bad loan? Or you have to do it the rest of your life? What is child support? How does it work?
It works like if I split up, obviously, my wife and I split up when I was 25. And I have to pay the state because the state pays
30 years later, and she's still on the dole. Astounding. See, it doesn't pay to get divorced because no matter who you meet, it's going to be the same thing anyway in about 3 months.
Yeah. Well, nice talk with you,
Mike. Wise old men know this. Divorce makes no sense because eventually 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, it doesn't matter. A year and a month. Eventually, it's the same story. So what's the point? That's all. Going over like a lead balloon. What's wrong out there in the country today? Like a dead zone. Must be the weather. It could be the ozone layer and mercury in the fillings. I don't know. It could be global warming. What was the big thing before global warming? It was something else I forgot they were scaring us to death with. It was acid rain. Remember the age of acid rain? Remember they said all the forests in the northern hemisphere were going to be denuded by acid rain unless you bought a certain package from the green shysters. So now they're pushing the latest one. Oh, my goodness. You know, it's a product of putting children on ADD, ADHD drugs, and the parents on ADD, ADHD drugs, marijuana, red diaper dopa, baby. Forget ADD. It's RDDB, baby. It's the RDDB that does it, not the ADHD. 1-800-449-8255. What was I going to play for you? There's a nice song from the Depression that after the Depression, I remember I was not born yet, of course. Potatoes are cheaper. Tomatoes are cheaper. Now's the time to grab a gal. You want to get that, Charles, for giving her a little wake-up job, or else we're going to have to go to heavy metal.
Potatoes are cheaper. Tomatoes are cheaper. Now's the time to fall in love. The butcher, the banker, the candlestick maker, gave the price a downward shove. Grab yourself someone to fry your eggs and bacon. She can live just like a queen on what you're making. For this and that's a lot cheaper, but that's a lot cheaper. Now the time to fall in love.
See, that's when you had a government that was legitimate and sane. It encouraged you to fall in love with a woman, of course, not with a goat. Or with someone from the same sex. They encourage you to find the woman, get married, and have children. So they were encouraging you to get back and get married and move the country forward. Take a look at what we have now in the White House. Take a look. When is the last time you mentioned family? When is the last time any of these Democrat rats, socialist bums, mentioned man and woman as family? When? Name once. Name once that they mentioned and pushed you to get married. Never. What's the difference? It's a different universe than the one I grew up in. So I don't want to go back to it. It's my world, not your world. It's the world that I grew up in. You can't help me. You can't blame me for wanting to live in that world, can you? Do you mind if I want to live in a better world? Do you mind if I don't want to live in this debased, degenerate, lying world that that we're living in together? Do you mind? Do you mind, mister? Potatoes are cheaper, tomatoes are cheaper, now's the time to grab a gal. All right. I wasn't around at the time, but you understand. Who in your family is able-bodied but not working? Who in your family? Everyone's worn out from this president. The man has worn out the country already. Never mind, he's worn out his welcome. Everyone knows he's a fraud. Even the left knows he's a fraud. He screwed them too. But everyone's bored of him now. They don't go for the booming voice. They finally understood the difference between style and substance. There's a book I read in college, Style and Substance. This guy has plenty of style and no substance. You understand that? Great Kenyan voice. Booming basso voice. Incredible voice. He first came on the scene, everyone was stupefied by it. And then they found that it was hollow. He was the hollow man. He was the tin man. You know, you can come up with any of the analogies you want. There's no there there. In other words, he's an empty suit. How come they don't apply that to Obama? What, they're afraid of being called racist? You're telling me an empty suit can only have white skin? 1-800-449-8255. So what's in the newspaper? Answer, nothing. Absolutely nothing. What else is in the world of the news out there? You don't want to talk about Jesse Jackson with the suit? Because it didn't hit the papers yet? It'll never hit your paper. I guarantee you, and although it's on the Drudge Report right now, the Obama... Wait, where is this one? Did I hit the wrong refresh button here? Suicide rates. Here. Jesse Jackson, subject of gay harassment complaint. Top of Drudge. I didn't make it up. The end of ABC cancels All My Children in One Life to Live. What if I tell you I never watched either of them? Never. Trump to make White House announcement on Apprentice. He's running a rally out in Florida on Saturday in Boca Raton, the land of the deli people. The Lox people will be there booing him. The people who voted for Alan West love Trump, but the anti-Alan West Lox eaters hate him. The gefilte crowd hates West and hates Trump. The gefilte job.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. We know what the Obama speech was. Michael Savage says, President Obama, don't pee down our backs and call it rain. It's as good as Reagan saying, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. But, of course, I don't have a PR team, so the world won't hear what I said. You're lucky you are hearing it. In fact, what I think I'm going to do for you is, Michael Savage said, Mr. Obama, don't pee down our backs and call it rain. Let's play that right now. It's all rubbish. It's total and absolute rubbish coming out of this man's mouth. Every word that he speaks drips with class envy, class warfare, and racial hatred. I've never seen anything like it. It's sickening me. I watch the man and I get revolted by him because I see him lying over and over again. Over and over and over again. It's driving me crazy.
A 70% cut in clean energy. A 25% cut in education. A 30% cut in transportation. Cuts in college Pell Grants that will grow to more than $1,000 per year. That's the proposal. These are the kinds of cuts that tell us we can't afford the America that I believe in and I think you believe in.
The America you believe in is an America that Karl Marx believed in and dreamed of. It's not an America that most Americans believe in, Mr. Obama. Now, a 70% cut in clean energy is a lie. It's a payoff to Nancy Pelosi's friends and to General Electric, who has trillions of dollars in government contracts to develop rubbish energy that will never work, that is less efficient than coal-fired plants. 25% cut in education? Why don't you start by cutting bilingual education? Get rid of all bilingual education across America. You probably won't have to cut another nickel. Now, what do you mean a 30% cut in transportation? Where does that money go? My roads are broken all over the Bay Area of California. Every road is broken. And cuts in Pell Grants so they can go there and learn how to put a condom on a cucumber or how to stick a crucifix in a jar of urine? I didn't get a Pell Grant. I worked summers. I worked nights. I worked weekends. I didn't need a Pell Grant. This is classic Marxism. I'm sick of it. And if we had an alternative party, If we had a Republican Party, they would get up there today and scream at him. They wouldn't let him get away with it. But you saw what they did. They lied to us. There was no $38 billion in cuts. It's $383 million or so that was actually cut. They lied through your face. Boehner is a pink tie. The whole pack of them are pink ties. I told you this years ago. It's a one-party system with a two-card Monty. No, you know what I'm saying? With no P under either shell. No P under either shell. You can shuffle around the shells, and no matter which one you pick up, there's no P under the shell. The American people are getting beaten to death by both of these gangs of grifters. Then you say, whoa, you got to calm down. You got to be more civil. Like heck I do. I'm not going to be civil when I'm being fleeced by a bunch of criminals. This is criminal. Stealing from my pocket, I'm supposed to say thank you. There's an old Russian saying, you can't pee on my back and call it rain, Mr. Obama. You stood up there today and you peed on the backs of the most productive Americans and you try to tell us it was rain. No, Mr. Obama, you can't pee down our backs and call it rain.
Savage.
I guess we could stretch it a bit and we could take off on Lincoln, who said you can fool some of the people some of the time, some of the people all the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. And we could use the analogy that I used in that regard that I don't even know how to do it because I haven't written it down. I suppose you could say you can pee down the backs of some and call it rain some of the time. You can pee down the backs of some and fool them all of the time. But you can't pee down the backs of all and fool them all of the time. It's hard to do without writing it down, truthfully. I'm testing my mind to see if it still works. After 17 years in radio and listening to this conniver, the vermin in the media, I don't know if my brain still functions. It's hard to say. How many books have I written? 27 books. How many radio shows have I done after 17 years? Figure 250 radio shows a year. 10 years is 2,500. I don't know how many radio shows. You add them up. Wait a minute. What am I talking about? How many radio shows are there a year at five days a week? Figure an average of 50 weeks a year. Right? So that's 250 shows a year times 10 years is 2,500. Another 5 years is 1,250. That's 3,750. I don't know. I can't do it. About 4,000 radio shows. 4,000 radio shows, 27 books, one earned PhD, two earned master's degrees. Well, okay. I'm one of the workers. 45% of Americans had jobs in 2010. I'm one of the proud 45.4%. The lowest rate since 1983 when old Carter was in power, I believe. I think he was in power in 83. I don't know. Last year, just 66% of men had jobs, the lowest on record. Why not? Why should men have a job? Why should men have a job? Women should boss them around. Working age men have been dropping out of the labor force for decades. The disappearance of quickened when construction and manufacturing jobs vanished in the recession. No, it vanished when the illegal aliens took their jobs in construction. Until the 60s, more than 80% of American men worked. Then the vermin flooded America with non-citizens and stole the construction jobs because they could boss them around, intimidate the poor illegals, and pay them less. The trend of women getting jobs offset the loss of working men until the late 1990s. Who can remember this? How do you know it? The aging 77 million baby boomer. I don't like the word baby boomer to begin with. It's like Hershey bar. I can't explain it. When you say baby boomer, I think Hershey bar and diapers. I don't know. It's like a baby boomer. What's a baby boomer? Born between 46 and 64. What do they call a baby boomer? Retirees generally are more costly to support than children. No kidding. No kidding. The average public school education costs 10 grand a year. The average retiree gets 25 grand a year in bennies. Well, sure, they got to go gamble. They got to go to New Jersey, Las Vegas with the arm and the cigarette and throw the coins in the slot. What do they do? 13 grand in Social Security and Medicare benefits of 12 grand. In all, taxpayers will spend about 100 and a quarter educating a child. They get a lot for the money, $125,000. And $500,000 caring for a senior. The sacred senior. You ever see that senior at age 25? He was just like the 25-year-olds of today. Some good, some bad, some miserable, evil men and women. I love them in the supermarkets here. Now I'm in Southern Florida right now. Take a look at them in Publix with the carts. Everyone's a senior. They have a glint in their eyes. They race down the aisle to try and nip the side of your hand with a cart. senior? What makes them sacred because they're a senior? Who says a person suddenly is sacrosanct because they're a senior? Well, what does that come? Where does that come from? Only the dumb society can you categorize an entire group of people as saintly because they reached a certain age. What nonsense. It's all part of the antisocial behavior of the Democrats. What can I tell you? They created this whole concept. LBJ's Great Society. How'd that work out? How did LBJ's Great Society work out? As well as the Vietnam War, symbol shot, boom. Well, let me go on another website here. Let me go on Dimbart.com. How many friends can I make in one day? Dimbart.com. Now I'm going to go off that site. Let's see what Fox News has on it. Loads of calls. It's lit up. I'm just warming up still. Americans save cash by buying military clunkers. That's cute. Some find salvaging old broken-down military arms like a 1967 A3 shop truck a savvy investment. Something tells me I am not trading in my Mercedes S600 for a 67 A3 shop truck in the near future. Something tells me I prefer the soft ride or going from C to S on the car to a 67 A3 shop truck. Something tells me I'm not ready for it. Program to retrofit low-income homes to lower energy bills has been plagued by mismanagement and fraud. Shocking. Shocking. There were stimulus funds wasted on green projects? That's impossible. I don't believe a word of it. Nancy Pelosi said that wouldn't happen. She promised us that green jobs would have no mismanagement and no fraud. I can't believe this article. This must have been planted by the right wing. We know that green people are good people. We know that stimulus funds went for only good people and good things. 4,800 pigs die in Iowa confinement facility fire. Oh, God. It's not bad enough eating an animal. Then you have to hear about them dying in a fire. What's the difference? What's the difference if they die in a fire while they're alive or you kill them and then put them in a fire? Well, the answer is very interesting, the difference, because you're supposed to slaughter animals humanely if you want to get into that. Supposed to be humane, and if you can call slaughter humane, but all right, supposed to be. Supposed to be humane. I went to a barbecue the other night. I was doing well till I got to the part of the line where they had a baby pig with the apple in the mouth. There was something so, what's the word I'm looking for? Decadent. It was like a barbecue by a pool with a group dancing, like a Samoan with a pathetic group from Samoa. The food was okay, but then the pig, I looked at the pig over and over again, and its side was cut open. People were taking meat out of it. And then the Jamaican guys were serving it. They were nice guys, the servers. So I said, what's that over there? He said, that's pulled pork. So I jokingly said to him, has anyone asked you for pushed pork? He laughed hysterically. That was the joke for the whole night. Every time I went back, I worked it. I can work a crowd if it's one guy. See, I have a way of transcending race, culture. Only I could turn pulled pork into pushed pork. And he liked it. He got a kick out of it. So half hour later, after another beer, I came back and I said, anyone ask you for pushed pork? Again, a big laugh. Not bad if you can cross that cultural racial divide like I can. It's because I grew up in a multicultural school. I didn't need education on how to do it. I didn't need re-education on how to talk to somebody from another place and another race. Now the more they told you how to talk to people from multicultures, everyone hates each other. By the time the government got through lecturing you on why you should love the other guy, who doesn't look like you, talk like you, walk like you, is not from where you hate everybody. You mistrust the whole world. Whereas if you grew up on the Natch, where you had to do it, you did it. See, that's the difference between government program and independent programs of that makes sense. Whatever, you're not listening. You know, look at the callers I got. Three brother-in-law. I got to hear this one. Remember I asked you who in your family's not working? Here we go. Here's a beauty. Lee in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I got three brother-in-laws, and they have not worked in a total of 110, 120 years.
Oh, my God. What do they do?
Well, one of them has an engineering degree from a very prestigious college, quit when he was 30, and lived off my mother's money. He's in his 80s. So that's
let me ask you something. What does a person do? Let's say they have the money to live on it. What do they do with their lives? How do they get through a day?
Well, he tried politics. He was pontificating for a couple, 4 years. He ran for the House of Representatives twice, and he was beat twice.
He thought he was a potential president. In other words, you had to put up with that.
Well, no, maybe a senator. I wouldn't say president. No, he's very charming, very gabby, you know, that type of guy, good looking.
Yeah. Did you call him senator at family dinners? Just, and who else? Name the other brother-in-laws. What do they do?
Well, I had another brother-in-law who was very successful till he was 30. Then he moved in with mommy, and he's 70 now. So let's see, that's 40 years.
Wait, 40 years he didn't work?
Well, no. He go to work for a year and a half, then he go on unemployment, then go to work, and then unemployment, then go to work, then unemployment.
But Lee, how did that work out? The mother encouraged it?
Yeah, she was his enabler, you follow me?
Of course, that's why I asked. She liked having them around.
Yeah, absolutely.
And okay, so now we're down to the last in the quinilla. Tell me about the third brother-in-law.
Well, he also went to the same prestigious engineering school that my first brother-in-law went to, but he flunked out after 2 years, and he worked on and off, and is in his 70s, and he's worked he hasn't worked in 30 years on and off. Same game. You go to work for 2 years.
I don't understand it. Maybe I'm crazy. I don't know how I'd live without working. I don't understand it.
But they have a certain, they get a big desk. You know, and they have all books all over the
Oh, they lord it over you when you walk in the house. They're still intellectuals, I see.
Yeah, they just haven't found the right niche for their brain, if you follow me.
Well, that's because the society hasn't caught up with them, Lee. You know what I mean? They're too smart for the world.
Well, I went to work when I was 15 for Ben Tepper, who ran a department store. It was illegal. He used to pay me $1 an hour. Then after he saw I was a hard worker, he paid me my bus fare, 25 cents.
Wait, which store was this, Lee? It sounds like me in the pharmacy.
Yeah, no, it's Tepper's in Plainfield, New Jersey. Ben ran it. And when I got accepted at a good college, it's hard to believe he gave me $500 cash. Now, I worked for him every summer for...
Isn't that something? I worked for a pharmacist when I was a kid. He paid me 75 cents an hour when the going rate was a buck and a quarter, minimum wage. And I was glad to have the job, to be honest with you.
Me too. Ben was a great man. He died maybe 15, 20 years ago. I loved him all my whole life.
See how you remember? Look at that. One man's kindness lasts a whole lifetime, huh?
Yeah. When I got to be 17, I ran the Boy Scout department in his store. I want you to find a Boy Scout or a Cub Scout department in a department store today.
No. That's like the ROTC at Yale. Go, good luck.
Yeah, well, those days are gone, but I'm astonished by you.
I'm a former Boy Scout. I like the Boy Scout camp. I enjoyed myself in, where was it, New Jersey somewhere, Three Mile River or something in New Jersey. I learned how to whittle. I did a number of things in Boy Scout camp that I enjoyed. We slept on pine boughs. They come back to me now. I remember the starry sky to this day. I was 11 years old. To this day, I can smell the needles, and I can still see the sky I saw at 11. Would you believe it?
I believe you, because I do, too. I do.
Beautiful. Such a bad world. All right, Lee, thanks for sharing the sad tale of your bum brother-in-laws. 45% of Americans work, 55% don't. Question to you, the audience, who in your family does not work? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Mr. Obama, you can't pee on the backs of Americans and call it rain. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. See, that's a phrase that would live in infamy if I wasn't detested so much by the midstream media and by those others who are jealous of me in the so-called conservative movement. I'm actually not a conservative. I'm an independent individualist. Very hard to define that for most people. They don't understand it. The word conservative gives me the chills because it's like fake. It doesn't really mean anything. Like liberal. What does liberal mean? I'm a liberal. What does that mean, I'm a liberal? What, you for anything? Rolling in the mud with pigs? You know, it doesn't make you a liberal. It makes you a fool. Now, China has something interesting going on. They're banning any reference to luxury goods, although they're still selling them. In 2010, China counted almost 1 million people with a personal wealth of $1.5 million. 1 million people, up about 10% from the year before. So luxury brands are pouring in to China, you know, salivating over it. And luxury sales saw 16% growth in China in 2009 despite the recession. By 2015, luxury items have reached $27 billion, up from the $12 billion rung up last year, so it's booming. See, the Chinese are nouveau riche. No one will say that, but I read Thorsten Veblen in Queens College. I think 50 years ago. No, nothing changes under the sun. I mean, nouveau riche, hello? It's like boring. You know, like Louis Vuitton bag. Oh, how exciting. Oh, a Burberry raincoat. All right, but for China, they haven't gone through the 1950s yet. So nevertheless, they're stumbling over themselves for so-called luxury goods. And the government has put out some guidelines restricting the kind of ads they can put out. And it says they have to list Friday to vet their billboards and other outdoor ads to ensure they comply with the new regulations. So what are the new regulations in China? It says you can't have irregular content, irregular characters, words, and idioms. Specifics in the statement were given only once, including unhealthy political and cultural climate in outdoor advertisement, advertising hedonism, feudalism, pro-foreign sentiment, royalty, coarseness, or vulgarity. In other words, the entire U.S. advertising business would be out of business overnight. If they enacted this in America, where you couldn't use unhealthy political and cultural statements, you couldn't advertise hedonism or feudalism or pro-foreign sentiment, you couldn't glorify royalty, coarseness, and vulgarity, America would have no advertising business. 2 days later, the state-run China Daily newspaper reported, officials will target advertisements that promote hedonism or the worship of foreign-made products. The article then cites examples of words no longer to be used in ads. You can't use the words that follow. You can't use the words supreme, royal, luxury, or high class. This is funny. That's amazing. So the luxury goods manufacturers don't know exactly what to do since they can't basically dangle this in front of the nouveau riche schmucks in China. Luxury. Luxury. Look at the schmucks. I liked them better when they wore blue suits.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Are you lucky to be listening to this show tonight? So we're not going to bash Obama. He bashed himself the other day, yesterday. And again, calling me. One of these days I'm going to answer the phone during a show and hold a conversation. So I'll do it right now. Okay, they hung up. The nerve of people. They know I'm on the air. Obama, if that was a rated speech, let's say, like in a school, a D minus. Wouldn't have graduated him if it was my student. All substance. Tax the rich. Don't take away anything from the grifters. 45% of Americans still work, and 55% do nothing. So we were talking about it on the show. If you have anyone in your house who doesn't work, maybe they're one of the 55%. It's an interesting show topic. Only 45% of Americans are working. And then I mentioned earlier in the show that Donald Trump's having a rally in Boca Raton, Rat's Mouth. Boca Raton sounds high class, but it means Rat's Mouth. I think it was originally named by pirates, Spanish pirates, and they would come through the inlet, you know, after wreaking havoc. Pirates do that. And they would hide their treasure where there are now condominiums. But the inlet to them looked like a rat's mouth, in other words. So they call it Boca Raton. Then, as time would have it, years later became high in their mind. They changed it. Where do you live? Boca Raton. Boca. They didn't know what it meant. Boca Raton. Where do you live? Boca. It became Boca. Boca, which means rat. It means mouth. Mouth. I remember I once went to an Italian restaurant. And, what's the point? You don't want to hear any of this. There was an Italian guy in San Francisco when I first moved there in 74. He's long gone. I don't know. Franco. I think he died a couple of years ago. So it was a hot place on Columbus Avenue. And I used to like tongue sandwiches, high in cholesterol, but my mother cooked it. I liked it once in a while. I'd go in there with one of the few places you get a tongue sandwich with this green kind of chopped sauce on it. And every time I'd come in, he had a big mustache. He was a classic Italian chef with a white hat, you know, like a lunch counter. And if I'd order the tongue sandwich, he'd scream out, he would scream out, "La lingua, la lingua," and he'd point at his tongue. It was funny. What does it matter to you? So anyway, to get back to Boca Raton, rat's mouth, Donald Trump's having a rally this Saturday with the Tea Party people in Boca Raton. So as I said, the people who are going to be there are the people who loved Alan West, but I guarantee you the Locks people won't be there. That I can guarantee you. Then we started joking around with the idea of the Locks people. And Beowulf said they march in lockstep. So I started to laugh. And I said, no, the demographic is all locked up in Boca Raton. And we were playing with the word locks. So I had fun during the break. I ate peanuts to see if I have an allergy to them. I eat everything. It's like to provoke an allergic reaction. This is where I get my adrenaline up during a show. I try to eat items that are supposed to cause reactions in people. And since they don't, I keep eating them. This way, if I have an attack, like a, you know what I'm saying? That doesn't cause nothing. Peanuts. Look at the garbage they come up with. Now, Mike, I'm going to report you to the peanut police because I'm one of these people who have a serious it's a way to control others. They get an airplane now, one schmuck with peanuts on a plane. You hear this? My friend, he's 83 years old. He put up a stink. They almost threw him off the plane. He gave them some mouth. He said, throw him off the damn. What are you denying me, my little peanuts, he said on Southwest before the holes appeared in the fuselage. A couple of years ago, he flew to Las Vegas, he and I. He got livid. Very nice man, but he has some temper on him, this guy. Wow. He don't hold it back. Yell at the stewardess. He said, I want my peanut. She said, you can't, sir. There's an individual with a peanut allergy on a plane. We cannot give out the peanuts. I want my peanuts. But that was 3 years ago. Today already, they'd tape him up and they'd have someone from Homeland Security give him an enema on the way out the door before sending him to Dubai and China for a little rendition treatment on the big sis. We're coming back from the lounge after inspecting what happened over there in Japan. We came in from Fukushima. We stopped over in Seattle. We heard that good lounge. And we threw a few down the aisle there, and we were checking out the lounge with the girls and. But anyway, here we are. So then we were talking about China and luxury items. If you buy a luxury item, they can't advertise it as such in China now. The mine police are saying that the luxury brands that were salivating to sell there to the Schmendricks. A few years ago, they wore blue suits with red stars. They looked better. Now they look like idiots altogether. They look like they're at Disneyland. Yeah, but I mean, what do they wear this garbage for? They think that's fashionable to wear a Burberry raincoat and a pair of sunglasses? I don't know. I had more respect for him with the blue suits and the red star. I know I'm an anti-communist and all, but as a suit goes, everyone should wear the same color and the same suit. What do they need luxury goods for? You ever see these luxury items like they have cognac? There's a cognac that sells for $6,000 a bottle. I swear to God. In fact, I tasted it. Big deal. I prefer Hennessy for about if I have a drink at all. Which I don't drink it at all. What's the difference? It's more refined, less burn, less bite. Yeah, a lot of it's nonsense. With a little bit of drop from 1772 that some old degenerate Frenchman made, you know what I mean, in his cellar. Look, people need to believe in something. They figure if they're going to believe in they wear a luxury good, they themselves become ennobled by wearing a luxury item. 16% growth in China in luxury sales despite the global recession. But the Beijing administration says you can't advertise with any irregular content. That includes you can't advertise hedonism, feudalism, pro-foreign sentiment, royalty you can't glorify, coarseness of vulgarity. I like that. I like to see our ads not have any hedonism in it. We don't have any feudalism in ours, do we? Do we have pro-foreign sentiment? Only in the White House and the State Department. Glorification of royalty? Every way you turn. But if you actually look at royalty and how they live and how degenerate they really are, you really want to be royalty? I'll take the guy down the street who works for a living rather than that guy in England. Prince Charles never worked a day in his life, that schmuck. Paints horrible pictures that nobody will buy. Believes in global warming. Yuck. This guy, if he wasn't born into a rich family, what could he do? Be a doorman on the Upper West Side. Not even the Upper East Side. Yes, sir, how you doing? Can I have your shoe? You cannot use coarseness or vulgarity. And then the state-run China newspaper reported officials will target advertisement that promote hedonism or the worship of foreign-made products. This I love. Here are words you can't use in China's ads. You can't use the word supreme, royal, luxury, or high class. All right. It's a funny story. I already milked it twice. So we'll move on. China has 960,000 millionaires and 13 million upper middle class making between 15 and 30 grand a year. China has 1.3 billion people as of 2009. So doing the math, I'm running it in my head, that leaves 131 million people making under $15,000 a year. Now, for those of you in America who don't know the numbers, in our country, our lower middle class here in the U.S. starts around $25,000 to $30,000 per year, right? So there's the whole story, right? IKEA opened the store over there in China. But apparently, I'm reading now that people only go to IKEA to take measurements, to copy the stuff, to eat in the IKEA cafe or to sightsee with the kids. It's cheaper than Disney World. But the companies are taking advantage of the low-cost labor to make huge profit margins in the West, and you can't expect them to want to lose money as a company. I mean, I personally think if you follow the ethic out to its complete conclusion, you follow the arc of follow the cheapest labor, I think that eventually you'll see General Electric trying to bring back slave labor. Because think about it. If they pay no taxes in America because they know how to get around the law and they own the presidency, and then they own news channels which support the illegitimate presidency and the illegitimate government that they put in power in order to continue paying no taxes, etc., and getting contracts on green energy that doesn't work. If you follow the logic of General Electric, soon they should be hiring slave labor somewhere in the world because it's a lower rate than low-wage workers, right? First child labor, then slave labor entirely. That's where it goes eventually. So you can see ultimately that I am not a true conservative in the sense of the false ideology of conservatism. Because if you follow conservatism out, it turns out to be as dangerous as communism. In other words, rapacious conservatism. Piracy is piracy. Anti-human behavior is anti-human behavior. Do you understand this? All right, forget about it. He's already getting off track. It's something I have to save for a book. 1-800-449-8255. Or let's go to the calls on the Savage Nation the minute I come back.
Savage.
So anyway, we're going to move on from the luxury goods situation in China where they all want to be luxurious and wear those fancy designer labels and look like idiots. But one note before I leave. When I went to college, which was quite a while ago, we were required to read certain books. I think it was the University of Chicago 100 Great Books. And one of them was Thorsten Veblen's Conspicuous Consumption. Either it was an essay or a book. But we were raised to understand that conspicuous consumption was vulgar and garish. Now, really, in a way, looking back, it's kind of communistic because it's very un-American to teach you not to buy things. I realize that. But I was definitely imprinted with that. I mean, certain things I like, and I don't buy them. I don't think I buy them to be conspicuous. I buy them because they're great and they run well. Like, did I buy my car to be conspicuous with the car? No, I bought it because it's the best car in the world, for example. Okay, that's an example. I think that's the reason. I mean, there are good cars, but they don't run well, generally. They don't give me a sense of, let us say, security or control that I would get out of a better machine. I like really good machines. Same with boat. I could have gotten a smaller, lesser boat, but they're not as good. I don't want something that might break down or I have no control over. You see what I mean? It's like with a gun. Same with a gun. I mean, there's lesser guns than the kind of guns that I own, all right? We get into the guns now, the gun nuts will call. But the truth is, I don't want a gun that's going to explode in my hand. So you could say conspicuous consumption, buy a cheap gun. No, I don't want a Saturday Night Special that blows up in my hand. I want the best machine gun in the world, right? And there are quite a few. Now, I'm not going to do guns right now because I know you're going to call. Man engulfed in flames at San Francisco porn shop. Here, this is Sarah. These are the kind of values Nancy Pelosi talks about when she talks about San Francisco values. A man was hospitalized this evening with life-threatening third-degree burns after somehow catching fire inside a San Francisco porn store. The fire occurred at the Golden Gate Adult Superstore. You hear Adult Superstore. How about Degenerate Superstore? On 6th Street near the intersection of Mission. It's a slum of the worst order. Police officers across the street from the porn shop saw a man run out the front door of the store engulfed in flames. SFPD Lieutenant Troy Dangerfield said. Wasn't there a comedian named Rodney Dangerfield? Yeah, not related. How do you catch fire in a porn store? I don't understand. I mean, you could start with the jokes, you know, friction and all that, but come on. That doesn't make sense. The man whose name has not been released as it was being treated at St. Francis Memorial Hospital for severe burns over 90% of his body. That's not funny, but how does a guy catch fire in a porn store? The man had apparently been watching videos in a private booth at the adult arcade, meaning the degenerates arcade, when the fire ignited. So now you go to the bloggers. Bloggers are smart, some of them. Some are idiots, but here's someone wrote, that must have been some hot porn. Okay, stupid, but funny. Okay. Let's see this one. Amyl nitrate poppers is an inhalant that is used to intensify and prolong male climax and extremely flammable. You see, that's interesting. That's very interesting. That is very interesting. Okay, that's a mystery now. That is a mystery. Someone that wrote this, maybe God was simply saying naughty, naughty, doubt it. Then someone wrote, what was God doing in a San Francisco porn store? Oh, God. You know that a lot of the blog items on, it's like graffiti. Has anyone noticed that? Am I the first one to note that? You can steal it if you'd like and put it on someone's show tomorrow. But if you look at blog comments on some odd stories or even intelligence stories, some of them are pretty amazing. But they remind me of graffiti on bathhouse walls. It was a case of premature conflagration. Or maybe he was just... Some of it's funny. What? Okay, well, I'm not going to read some of them. Maybe a flame... No, I can't read that. I don't know. Some of it's idiotic. But do you think that it was... Well, let's not go into it. Let's not waste God's time on that. Man engulfed in flames at San Francisco porn shop. Let's leave it at that. How could he catch fire? We don't know. That's all. What else is in the news? That was a good story. I thought that's salacious enough to attract your attention for a few seconds. The audience is out there like brain dead from Obama's speech. They turned off the radio now for about a month. Budget bill heads to Obama's desk. Ugh. Wasted stimulus funds found in Green Project. Shocking. NFL players and owners get back into the huddle. Boring. I am so not a sports fan. I haven't any idea how a grown man can watch a game. I don't understand it. I understand the skill. I appreciate the skill. But with the da-da-da-da-da-da, I don't know. The minute the horn goes off, I'm finished. Right after the national anthem, I'm out of there. After I have my first hot dog, I can't wait to leave the stadium. Maybe it's claustrophobia. Maybe it reminds me of the Roman arena where I was thrown to the lions in a past life. I don't know. But there's something about the madness in the faces of idiots called fans. Their eyes become psychotic. Dinosaurs may have hunted at night, says study. Well, what'd that cost me to find out? $18 million probably to find out dinosaurs may have hunted at night. You hear this? If I watch pelicans fly across the sky as I do in South Florida, I'm awed by it. I know that they're descendants of that era. You know, which one? I forget which one of the dinosaurs. I don't remember. I have a little book on the dinosaurs. I don't want to act like I really know. But we know that most birds are descended from that era of reptiles, right? Even a chicken was once like a big killer dinosaur. Picture yourself the size of a corn, a piece of corn, not an ear, a little piece of corn. And the chicken now is the regular size of a chicken. That's what's going to come. You're going to come back as a kernel of corn for having eaten chicken in this life. You're going to be put into the past, and a chicken's going to peck you and chase you.
Savage.
Tis the Savage Nation. I guess many of you got mad at me for saying things against conservatism because I don't toe the party line. And you need the party line. Many people need the party line. They need liberal, bad. conservative, good. And I'm by definition not a conservative. I'm an individualist, which is much different. Because as I said to you, piracy is piracy, and corporate piracy is corporate piracy. If you have General Electric paying no income taxes, and you know they own the presidency, and they control what people think through NBC and MSNBC, tell me that that's conservatism. It isn't. You can't just give them a carte blanche check, you know? So you got to be careful with the definitions, whatever. 1-800-449-8255. So Donald Trump is going to run, probably. That's my guess. And I suspect that the vermin are going to attack him out of jealousy and to make certain that another deadbeat socialist wins. My prediction is that he will run and he will win. If he runs, he will win, because America would rather have, I call him sort of a buccaneer in the most positive sense. They'd rather have a buccaneer who has, you know what, guts and is purely patriotic, loves the military, loves America, fought with the town of Palm Beach to fly a huge American flag. Remember that fight? I didn't see Obama fighting to put up an American flag over his house, did you? I mean, you just look at the guy on the face of it. He would take China to the tool shed, and he would say, you know, here's what you're going to do. He and I have talked on the show. I'd be for him. Absolutely. So big deal. He's done this and he's done that. Who hasn't? You know a perfect person? I haven't met one yet. Have you met a perfect person yet? Who would take this job? Who would take this job? Who would want to be president? I saw an article that was very interesting. If I could find it at the end of the day already, here in the middle of the second hour. Obama confronts a grueling day today in the LA Times. It was well written. And he wrote this. He says, to hear President Obama tell it, he's a sad fellow these days. It says, I miss being anonymous, the melancholy man moaned to a few White House visitors the other day. Some Americans agree they miss the Chicago Poll being anonymous too. I'm one of them. The poor man who turns 50 this summer does live with his mother-in-law. But he said he especially misses Saturday mornings rolling out of bed, not shaving, getting into my car with my girls, driving to the supermarket, squeezing the fruit, getting my car washed. Instead, Obama must endure 24-hour free room service, servants, drivers, a giant helicopter, world travel, fawning celebrities, never gasping at a whirling gas pump and getting a salary that many of America's unemployed millions would take a tiny fraction of if they could. He whined, I can't take a walk, said the most powerful person in the world, who spent $745 million of other people's money to get into that White House of detention. As a sign of his sincere sadness, Obama will ride his presidential 747 with the bedroom and shower to Chicago today, and there in a desperate bid for privacy, Obama will attend and speak at not one, not two, but three political fundraisers for his Democratic National Committee, including one in the stylish Grand Ballroom out on Navy Pier. This is the big bucks kickoff for what Obama aides gleefully predict will be a $1 billion political extravaganza of vote for me. $1 billion. Think, a president once suggested, what that kind of money could do for the most vulnerable members of our society. But it's more important right now that that sum goes to people like television station owners for the broadcast and cable time to convince Americans over the remaining 572 days that they should disregard Obama's profound desire to return to private life, and instead those Americans should voluntarily opt to keep the poor guy locked up for four more years in the Churchill bust-less Oval Office. It's very well written. Did you hear this? $1 billion in a campaign. $1 billion in a campaign. And it says Obama bundlers are under enormous pressure to make the first campaign quarter's numbers overwhelming in size. $200 million for the first quarter. $250 million. And yet he tells you that he cares about the poor, the downtrodden. Unbelievable. But don't call me on that. There's nothing you could say. Nothing whatsoever. You want to talk about Donald Trump? I mean, that it's tertiary right now. You don't want to talk about Trump running? Will he run? Won't he run? Do you think he'll run? Could he win? Won't he win? What do you think he's going to run? Will he run? Won't he run? Why won't he run? Why will he run? What will they say? What will they won't say? If he does run, will he win? Will he walk? Will he crawl? Will he run? I don't know. I asked him when I was at his club last time I was down in Florida. Why would you want to give this up for that terrible job? His poll ratings are through the ceiling. through the ceiling. The minute he brought up, I know I'm going to say the words like Manchurian Candidate. If I say birther, the bingo, the lights go on. But the minute he started talking about Obama and his birth, bingo. That Donald may want to enter the fray of presidential politics. Okay, that's very interesting. So they're going to try and attack him now, the vermin, who like only communists and socialists who've never run a lemonade stand. So you're ready, they're going after him. Right away, they're after him because he's not one of the commie socialist media types. So they don't like him right away. They're so jealous of this man. They are so envious of Donald Trump. He's got everything they can have. You know what I'm saying? They're jealous of the man. They're jealous of him. They're sick and green with envy, the commies. But I hope he does run because I'd like to see him wipe the floor with Obama. Oh, would I love to see a debate between Donald Trump and Obama without teleprompters. Just anybody but Newt Gingrich, please. Please, Newt, stop it. The go pack tick. Mike Huckabee, I'll leave the country if he wins. What a con. I don't understand how people could get so excited about him. I don't understand this. With the guitar and Fox News, that's not enough for you? Mike Huckabee has no qualifications to be president. In fact, all of his records as governor disappeared. Very much sounds like Obama's college records, incidentally. So, 64-year-old Trump, I don't know where he gets the energy from. Why would he want to do this? I would never want this job. I have no idea why anybody would want this job. Like, when the show is over, I could go out on a bicycle and have a Heineken somewhere, and no one will know me. How much is that worth to somebody? To be able to ride a bicycle to a pub where no one knows who you are and have a beer and be left the heck alone. Why would you want everyone looking at you? I couldn't tell you. Talk about conspicuous consumption. And you talk about wanting to be noticed, okay? That's the whole political thing. I mean, that's the only thing motivating most people. You can't say that some of them don't have the best interests of America at heart. But a guy like Obama, you know, has the best interests of Karl Marx at heart. Die hard. His whole life has been motivated by one thing, which is to socialize America. Take away everything decent about the country and convert it into something it never was supposed to be. Country was built entirely on individualism, and now we have a man who believes in the centralization of power. You know, you see, it's hard for me to explain it to you. It takes you years to develop a sense of politics to even know what I'm talking about. It's not that I'm so smart. You're a product of the educational system. So you don't understand, for example, that if Obama takes over certain programs where the money has to come through the centralized government, it gives him more power. The government gets more power, not less power. Do you understand now? That's called centralization of power. That's how socialists work. They want more and more power aggrandized in their hands, and you should have less and less power, till eventually you wind up with a lunatic like Nancy Pelosi, who does not even realize that she's become like Mussolini when she says elections shouldn't count that much. She doesn't even hear herself. She doesn't even know that she has become a black shirt. I guarantee you, if you actually confronted this woman, if you could talk to her, if you could have a talk to her, and say to her, do you realize that you are a fascist by saying elections shouldn't count that much? She wouldn't even understand what you're talking about. They become so inbred in their worldview that they think that everything that government does is good and that they're good and everything should go through them. They don't even understand that that is the definition of a fascist government. The only difference is a fascist government beats you into submission rather than cons you into submission. Right now we have a government that cons you into submission where you will let your six-year-old daughter be basically molested at an airport by a degenerate wearing a TSA uniform and you get away with it. But because some schmuck wears a badge and she has the name TSA, she's allowed to molest a six-year-old at an airport or humiliate a war hero, et cetera, and so on. You see, this is what you call. So instead of beating you into submission, instead Big Sis forces you into submission through propaganda and brainwashing, telling you it's in your own good. It's for your own good. That's why we rape you. We molest your children for your own good, for your own safety. We're coming back from the lanes back through Alaska from the mess over there in Japan, so we stopped over in Seattle. We heard about that mess over there with the kid. Yeah, we'll straighten it out. All right, here's the press release. You ready? You write this down. The terrorists will use any kind of system to bypass our system. So they were following direct instructions from me. All right? Now let's get on here. Let's move it on. That's it. I'm J. Edgar Hoover. Connecticut, Joe, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. I agree with you 100% that Donald Trump is one of the few people that can bring this country back. But the problem I see is the Republican Party will never give him the opportunity to run as a candidate. It has to be a third party. Do you agree with that?
Yes. The Republicans will never let him in because he's not an old boy.
How do we approach this?
Well, he may run as a third party candidate and decimate the Republican Party and elect Obama if he does it. That's the problem.
Is he electable as a third party candidate?
No, I don't think so, because he and Romney or whoever they pick will split the vote, and that's the end of it, and Obama the communist wins.
So what do we do? How do we do this?
Well, I suspect that if he does decide to do a third-party candidacy, and his numbers start to become extremely high, as they will, then the Republican Party will have to make a decision whether to dump their candidate and take him in the fold, or vice versa.
I don't know.
I mean, in other words, it's not over till it's over. I don't think three candidates are a good idea. I would like to see the left split. I'd like to see Hillary run against Barry, wouldn't you?
I would love it, but I doubt
because neither of them are qualified to run this country. But they would split the vote and we'd have a Republican win, and prayerfully it would be an independent such as Trump to just get down to the brass tacks.
That would be too good to be true.
It would be, because he's patriotic, loves the military, knows how to deal with China. He agreed with me that Iraq should pay us in oil, Mexico should pay us in oil. I mean, the guy's right on the money. He believes in tariffs for Chinese goods. And he tells us that the Chinese are laughing at us. They tell him straight up front. I mean, remember where he's done business, or he does business all over the world. So he knows how the world works. This is not a community organizer, okay? You understand this? And dollar-wise, the guy could bring in big money. Let's say Obama gets $1 billion from bundlers in Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Syria, China. He gets $1 billion together from his friends Soros, China, Saudi Arabia, Syria, and the idiots in America think that he's... So he gets $1 billion, and money, they say, is going to... I don't know the money's enough for this guy anymore. So I would think that Trump could probably put a couple hundred mil of his own money in to start with. That's not a big number anymore. When Meg Whitman, look what she did. The reason she lost is because although she put, I don't know, 130, 140 million in to her campaign in California, the reason East Bay Meg lost is twofold. A, she's ugly as sin. That's number one. She's not photogenic. And number two, she didn't run on any conservative principles whatsoever. She did not once mention illegal aliens. She did not once mention the trade war. I mean, there's a number of things. She did nothing. All she did was run as, I'm Meg Whitman and I build East Bay. So that's not enough. Plus, every time you looked at her, you winced. And you couldn't imagine her in the White House. It was like, oh, God, please. That's like imagining Janet Reno as president. It was the same kind of... Whereas Donald Trump is, he's a handsome guy. He's very dynamic. He's photogenic. He's got a good presence. So, that's one thing. And he knows what he's talking about business-wise. I don't want to hear about the flaws. We all have them, myself included. I guess the only one who doesn't is Obama. He's flawless. Indianapolis, Charles, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you for taking my call, Michael. I just want to say that I've never voted before for the presidency, and I would vote for Donald Trump in a heartbeat. This man knows how to run a business, and like you always say, run this country like a business. He knows when to spend, when not to spend, when to save, when to save.
Remember I said run the country like a business, not an empire. It's in trickle-up poverty. He agrees with that, but he added something to it. He said, run the country like a business with compassion, he added. It's very clever. He knows what he's doing, by the way. He hasn't missed a beat. Never mind this Bertha thing. It's worked for him, not against him. Although the media try to slam him and lowlifes like Ann Coulter said that he's gone off the deep end. Ann Coulter is going to, as sure as I'm standing here, what she's doing here is she's trying to position herself as somewhat reasonable like O'Reilly in order to maintain her credibility with Leprechaun, who tries to play the center. what's going to happen here is that Ann Coulter is going to become the next, Huffington, who was once a fake Republican and then became overnight a liberal. Remember that? When she saw which way the wind blew? And it worked for Huffington. She made a lot of money off it because she knew which way the wind blew and she saw which way she could play the game. Same thing with half these people who posed as conservatives, in my opinion, Charles. I don't think we'd get that spin out of Trump. I don't believe he'd suddenly become anti-military and anti-American. You know what I'm saying?
He's been this way from day one.
Yeah, he's very patriotic. He loves the country. Remember he fought with the town of Palm Beach over the huge flag he put up? Monster flag. They said it was too big, the American flag. He sued them and he won. And by the way, when you drive down Southern Boulevard now, coming in off whatever the number is here in Florida, and you approach Mar-a-Lago, you see Old Glory flying from a half a mile away. I think that's beautiful. In Barack Obama's neighborhood, I haven't seen an American flag recently. Have you? I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. So we're coming back out of Japan, the girls and I, and we stopped in Seattle, you know, to throw a few kegs, lighten up, get the blood moving. And we saw this thing with the parents with the six-year-old getting frisked over at the airport, a real problem. So we put out a TSA notice. It went like this. Terrorists will manipulate societal norms to evade detection. That's it. Finish. Goodbye. Give them a 50 buck and a free flight. That's all. Don't bother me with it. Here's a SWAT team attacked a homeschool mom for refusing to force medications on a child. You hear? You live in a free country. You can buy a Gucci. You can buy a Gucci item if you want. Detroit mother Marianne Godboldo faces multiple felony charges, is being held on a $500,000 bond after a 10-hour standoff with a heavily armed police SWAT team. The mom was protecting her 13-year-old daughter from unnecessary medication ordered by the state. Godboldo's daughter was born with a defective foot that required... I don't want to even read it. I don't want to read this anymore. I don't understand how the police can do this. I can't take this anymore. What's wrong with the police that they would do this? Child Protective Services, you know, are Nazis. That you know. CPS obtained the warrant to remove the girl. The mother wouldn't surrender the child to the state. So then the SWAT team comes in. You hear this? What a country we live in. That's a free country. It's free as long as you continue to buy a blue shirt or a red shirt, a white car or a green car. Vote for D or an R. But you step out of that line, watch out, brother. No one's got your back. They'll put a knife in it instead. That's what I found out. Yeah, I got your back, Mike. All the years I was in radio. Hey, Mike, I got your back. I got your back, Mike. Well, the truth is that with the English thing, the ban in England, I'll tell you, a lot of people contributed to my Savage Legal Fund. So I want to thank all of you for having my back. But other than that, I mean, where was the help from the so-called conservatives? You want me to name them again? I don't have any bitterness. I have no bitterness at all. I wouldn't expect anything from Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or Bill O'Reilly or any of them. I wouldn't expect a thing out of them. They're in business, period. It's a business like any other. I'm their competitor. They don't want me to succeed. They love to see me on the roadside. But I ain't going anywhere yet. My ratings are soaring and their ratings are collapsing. I have one goal left. I want to be the last man standing in radio. I don't care if it takes me till I'm 99. I want to be the last one left. I want all of them playing golf, and I'll be the last one with a microphone. Oh, well, it probably won't happen. Anyway, this is the Savage Nation. Be back in a moment right here on your local affiliate.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You know, Obama's calling it rain. What do I mean by calling it rain? There's an old Russian phrase that goes like this: don't pee down my back and try to call it rain. Well, that's what Obama did yesterday. He peed down our backs and tried to call it rain. He said he'd increase taxes and tried to say he was cutting the deficit. What most angers you about what Obama said yesterday? Well, what most angers you about what the Republicans didn't say yesterday? Do you think Obama's going to get away with it? House passes fake spending cuts. Oh, this is a heartbreaker. The House of so-called Representatives passed $38 billion worth of budget cuts that don't really exist. Even if they did exist, they'd amount to a tenth of what we pay each year on the national debt. What really needs to be cut? We'll talk about it. How do you fear the Republicans themselves will torpedo any budget cuts that are made? We'll talk about it. Has the budget battle made Republicans look stronger or weaker? We'll talk about it. Only 45% of Americans are working. I cannot believe this. A report today came out revealing that only 45% of Americans hold jobs, fewer in states like California. How are 45% of Americans going to pay for the 65% of Americans who don't work, the bulk of whom are illegals in welfare cases? Have you ever heard of a society where so few work? Unbelievable. And here's what's on michaelsavage.com. A condom campaign targets kids as young as 11. That's Obama's new America. If you live in Philadelphia and are between the ages of 11 and 19, you can now have condoms mailed directly to you for free. Thank you, liberal psychotics. Poor Obama confronts a grueling day today, says Andrew Malcolm of the LA Times. He says he misses being anonymous, he moaned the other day. My answer is, well, no one's stopping you. Man confesses to jihad operation murder in Nashville. Carlos Bledsoe changed his name to Abdul Khan Muhammad. Is accused of murdering an army private and wounding another in Arkansas. Oh, you didn't see that story in your local paper? Well, read my local paper. Okay, michaelsavage.com, it's your local paper. Obama hides names of White House visitors. And you thought he was a transparent president? Yeah. Obamacare's $200 million propaganda campaign revealed. Old Hillary calls for women's rights in the Muslim world. Women's rights in the Muslim world. That's very noble. I'm all for it. Go try it with the old bearded throwbacks. Apocalypse Now in Japan's nuke zone. It's terrifying. It's like a moonscape. The War of the Egghead Academics. It's still up on Michael Savage. If you missed it, read it now. China. Your friends in China. Dim sum, anyone? China blocks coastal waters and enlarges its military. Dim sum, anyone? Woman drowned self and three children in a minivan. Don't blame Obama for that one. California Teachers Union draws fire for rallying behind the cop killer Mumia Abu Shlamia. 1,000 Christians request conversion to Judaism and they want to move to Israel and live in the West Bank. They want to serve in the Israeli Defense Forces and then later establish communities based on the kibbutz movement model. Go and look at it. It's on michaelsavage.com. And also don't miss this, Savage ratings soaring. That's correct. The ratings don't lie, and they're up there. All this and more on michaelsavage.com. Pittsburgh, Ben, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael.
Yes, Ben.
I had the Michael, you there?
Yes.
I had the difference between you, the golfer, wall banger, and the chalkboard guy. And I told your screener, the difference is they're counterpunchers. For instance, tonight you come out like Rocky Marciano. You said impeachment. These guys get close, but they never say it. It's almost embarrassing. I'm your age. I grew up in Jersey. You're like a Bob Grant. Tonight you're on your mark. You're cutting edge tonight. Don't go back to, you know, what they you give. You tell people, you know, you give them advice and all that. Forget about that.
So you don't like when I do the advice hour on the Savage Nation, the Dr. Savage thing?
The thing, and I got the thing, and you say, you know, don't bring the thing. Forget about it.
Yeah, but that's good sometimes when there's no heavy news and I need a relaxation. The people enjoy that when I play Dr. Mike.
Very good. You called to Scott Brown. I remember the day after the election. Oh, my God.
You remember what I said what Scott Brown was? Did I see right through him?
Oh, you were great. They were saying, oh, my God, he's the next president. Forget about
you
it.
You remember that? I swear to God, he was the great hope already for tomorrow. I said, wait a minute. So, Ben, I want to ask you something. How come I see everything as it is?
Because I think it's a different generation. You're from New York. I'm from Jersey. You tell it like it is. They're all like check pants. Forget about it.
I think it is. I think it's my age, number one. Number two, I was raised by a realpolitik immigrant father from Russia who didn't let me get away with one word that was false. If he taught me anything, it was to tell the truth. He used to yell at me if I tried a fib out of a homework assignment or I shirked a chore. He would look at me and he wouldn't let me look away, made me look at him right in the eye. And he says, "You answer my question. You answer my question. Yes or no, did you do that?" And, you know, kids don't want to answer things that they didn't do right. He forced me to answer him. Do you know that, Ben?
No, I know. And my father was the same way. He never, I mean, they were Italian. All came from Jersey and Italian. I grew up in the, where HBO, the series Sopranos was shot. That's my old neighborhood.
But yeah, what is that neighborhood, by the way? I don't know. Where is that in New Jersey?
North Newark.
North like right Newark.
North Newark.
Is the pizza any good there anymore or not?
The what?
Is the pizza still good in the area?
Very good over there. They got the hot dog stands and beautiful. But I've been in Pittsburgh. I go back. My family's on the Jersey Shore. Two other things that are a little left.
You know, wait. Before we go back to politics, you know I like to shoot the breeze. I lived in Pittsburgh once for 6 months on and off. I was almost going to move there. I almost bought a house on Chestnut Hill or Squirrel Hill. I had a job there, a big job, and I then decided I couldn't take the I didn't move there. But I loved Pittsburgh. There was some very good Italian restaurants downtown. Am I wrong?
You know, they were good. Tambellini's, there were a lot of good restaurants.
Why are they good in Pittsburgh and so bad in San Francisco, with the exception of two restaurants? Why is it they can't make an Italian meal west of the Rocky Mountains?
Oh, you're too much with the Chinese and everything. But in Pittsburgh, the neighborhoods have stayed the same. There's one neighborhood called Bloomfield, where I grew up in Jersey. It was called Bloomfield. It's all Italian.
I have one important food question, since we've drifted away from serious news. The other night after the show, it was raining. It was miserable. I decided to make my own spaghetti sauce. I got to ask you, isn't the mark of a good sauce a very thick sauce? It's not supposed to be watery gravy-like. It's supposed to be thick.
I make my own sauce.
I'm saying, but is the object a thick sauce or not?
Yes, I don't use paste.
No. Paste is a faker. No, I use canned crushed tomatoes. I made a sauce Friday, but the thing was, is I cooked it for over an hour, so a lot of the water went out of it. It was so thick, and the meat sauce was so tasty because of the spices I used. The next day, I put a drop on a piece of toast. It was amazingly good. I finally hit the mark on sauce as I approached my seventh decade. I finally figured out how to make a good tomato sauce.
Mother used to do that thing with the tomatoes. You put them in, you turn that thing and stuff.
Yeah, see, now I got you. I did this on purpose. You said I shouldn't do just what I just did, and you enjoyed it.
No, I use crushed tomatoes.
No, you told me to stick to the politics, and here I got you talking about tomato sauce, and you're not feeling bad about it.
You're on your mark tonight. I like when you get really crazy, like Bob Grant. He tells the people, get off the phone, you bum, go get a job. I love it. Because, and then you like a little levity. I got to tell you this. We know that Obama's a sock puppet. He's a sock puppet.
I know. But the question is whose? Who put him in power?
Soros, George Soros.
Well, I looked into that over the weekend because I've been saying that. Do you know that Soros came late to the dance? He was not the first. I'll tell you who was the first because you're not going to believe it. Do you know who held the first major fundraisers for Obama?
What?
The Vermin of Hollywood. Did you know that?
Well, does that surprise you?
It was Katzenberg and that group. They held the first fundraisers for him in Beverly Hills in order to promote a certain agenda of theirs. It was the Hollywood core billionaires who put him in power. They were the ones who put him in power. They were the first in. And don't think they didn't get paid back. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
You know, when I first started the radio in 1994, I was on a local station, and I've always been very nationalistic because I'm still a Boy Scout. And I said that America is becoming much like Portugal, once a world leader, and eventually it will be of no significance whatsoever. And I said Portugal still exists, but it's of no import in the world. Well, the local newspapers laughed at me and said, Savage said, America's going to be like Portugal. Of course, I was right. The question is, can we stop this sweep of history with so many in the government and in the media and in the business community so intent on cashing out for the short term without looking to the long term? Now, let me pause right here because this is a good segue to something I want to get to. When have you last seen me on television? Can anyone listening to this show tell me the last time you saw me on Fox News. Can anyone listening to this show tell me when you last read about me in a major newspaper? The question is why? I mean, there are other so-called conservative talk show hosts who are seen and heard, but not me. Why is that? Is it possible because the others are wrapped within corporations that have deep business ties in China and elsewhere, and they toe the party line? They're told, okay, you could put on a little act of being patriotic, but don't go too far, Wallbanger, or else we'll lose our deal in China. Is that possible? I have an article in my hand. I can't read you the whole thing. It's Why the Blackballing of Michael Savage? By Coach Dave Daubenmeer. And I had not heard of the gentleman, but you may remember him. Coach Dave Daubenmeer is the founder and president of Past Assault Ministries and Minutemen United, very important organization, and he has a small radio show. In 1999, the coach was sued by the ACLU for praying with his teams while coaching high school in Ohio. He now spends his energy fighting for Christian principles in the public domain. So he wrote the article entitled, Why the Blackballing of Michael Savage? And he says, I'm a talk radio addict. He says, I don't know how it happened to me or why, but there's something about the art that really sucks me in. He says, my favorite, if there is such a thing, is Michael Savage. Out of all the voices flying through the air, his is the one that seems to be most independent. Don't get me wrong, he says, I know that all of them are controlled to a certain degree, but Dr. Savage is the one who I think I can most trust to call him like he sees him. Well, let me correct you, Coach. I'm not controlled at all. Other than the dirty words or disparaging people we do business with or advertisers, which I would never do anyway, I am totally free to tell you as I call him like I see him, so make no mistake about it. He then goes on and he says, here's a list of America's top-rated talkers. All of them are conservative and are instrumental in shaping the thought process of millions of Americans. And he goes through the usual list, and he says, they all have TV, wait a minute, he goes down the list, and then he says, Republican good, Democrat bad, liberal bad, conservative good. He says, the Savage Nation is the fourth largest show. I believe it's the third, actually. Then he asks, can anyone tell me the last time you saw Michael Savage on any television show? And he said, radio hosts love to cross-pollinate. Wallbanger loves to share the opinions of others in radio. Laura Ingraham has a regular gig with Bill O'Reilly, often guest hosting for Bill. And then he names others who are on all of the time. And he says, why is it Dr. Savage seems to be so persona non grata in the controlled conservative media? Could it be that most of those listed above are nothing but political hacks, propaganda arms of the Republican Party, and that there are those in authority who do not appreciate how Savage so willingly undresses both sides of the political charade? And then he goes through a little bit more, but he says, why is Savage so blatantly blackballed from the conservative talk show club? According to Talkers Mag, Savage has a regular listening audience of over 8 million people a week, yet no one would recognize him if you passed him on the street. Why is it that a show this popular gets so little exposure in so-called conservative circles? Why has Michael Savage been banished to the conservative closet? Michael Savage is a real doctor, real PhD, that is. While neither Limbaugh, Hannity, nor Beck have a college degree, Dr. Savage has an earned PhD from the University of California at Berkeley in epidemiology and nutrition science. He's written 28 books, four of which have made the New York Times bestsellers list. His latest work, Trickle Up Poverty, is currently burning up the printing presses, and his program is carried by about 300 stations around the country. Tell me again, when was the last time you saw Savage on Fox News? Now, I'm going to scan some of the things he says. He has no sacred cows. He made enemies in 2006 when he accused the Catholic Church of violating the law by giving assistance to illegal immigrants. He's talking about me. His theme of borders, language, and culture has served as a rallying call for the millions who tune in nightly. Well, let's see. There's a big one here. It was Savage who first informed America and ultimately led the fight to keep President Bush from turning control of our ports over to Dubai. His brief show on fascist MSNBC in 2003 was canceled after Savage was set up and sabotaged by a caller. So why have they banned him from the conservative boys club, he asks. And now here's an important part, I believe. The Savage Nation has a deep spiritual side to it. Unlike any other talk show host in America, Dr. Savage regularly reads aloud from the Bible. Although he keeps his personal religious beliefs to himself, he uses the Holy Scriptures as a warning to America of the consequences of our continued disobedience to God's laws. He certainly is not an evangelical Christian, but his call for our allegiance to the laws of nature and of nature's God reflects a greater spiritual depth than any of America's top talkers. Limbaugh refers to talent on loan from God. Wallbanger loves to quote John 14:1, but neither appear to have real understanding of the things of the Spirit. So he says, what's going on? Why is Savage blacklisted? Perhaps it's because Savage still continues to push back against the darlings of republicanism and often exposes that those in the government all receive their minor league training at Goldman Sachs. And then he goes on and on and on and on and on. And I'll conclude here. Savage is as conservative as they come. He often warns his listeners to beware of the government media complex. Could it be that his opposition to status quo government and his independent streak are a threat to those who are guardians of the conservative movement? Is that why Michael Savage is being blacklisted? Thanks, Dave Dabenmeyer. I really appreciate it. And so there we are. I say things as I see them. It gets me in trouble. I am banned from the excellent dental care of my British cousins can experience. I've been dying to go over there now for 2 years to have my teeth fixed, but unfortunately I won't be able to do that. And of course, I would have loved to have gone for a nice tour of the British cuisine, but that's not going to happen. Obama and the left-wing radicals, as I pointed out, in trickle-up poverty, have one solution. Spend, 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 and tax those who earn. Take away the money from the, quote, rich to pay for the enormous drunken spending that's been incurred by them. But we have a man named Bill Whittle on the show today to tell us how misguided that line of thinking is. That's right, misguided. You know what? Listen, he has some amazing information about this topic, which I discussed on the show yesterday. Bill Whittle, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's a pleasure. It's a big fan of yours, and it's a great honor to be on your show.
America is facing a debt crisis. The national debt, $14 trillion. Liberals say the only way out of it is if we tax the rich. We all know that's not a realistic solution. Why not?
It categorically isn't, and, you know, there's two problems with this. First of all, is this typical Marxist class warfare thing where you're always looking at the person who's making more than you and figure they're the source of all of your problems. And, you know, when you've got a country where about half of the population doesn't pay any income tax at all, you're rapidly getting to that place where, I guess it was de Tocqueville said that, you know, when people figure out they can vote themselves money out of the treasury, the game is over. But Michael Moore's assertion that the rich are sitting on this giant pile of money that would fund everything if we just had the nerve to go after them is categorically wrong. And the problem with the left, as you well know, is that they love to make emotional arguments that sound great, but when you get down to facts and numbers and statistics, it just doesn't pan up. My friend Iowa Hawk did a statistical analysis of this in an article that he wrote, and I liked it so much I just turned it into this firewall video called Eat the Rich, and it is going gangbusters. Blew through a 250,000 hits in just a few days.
How much money could we actually get out of the rich if we took all of their money?
Well, that is the question, isn't it? What Iowa Hawk did and what I ran with was this idea that if you have a budget that's about $3.65 trillion, it's almost exactly what it is for 2011. That's a nice conversion because there's 365 days in the year. So our federal government, Michael, spends $10 billion a day. So if we spend $10 billion a day and we take $100 billion, that's 10 days worth of operation for the government. So when he says let's take let's take all the money from the rich, first thing let's do is let's take a look at the two most evil corporations out there. You know, all corporations are evil in the eyes of the left because they're successful, but well, just pick two of the ones that are just continuously vilified: ExxonMobil and Walmart. Now, these two companies together in 2010 made $34 billion. So forget about raising the tax rates. We're not talking about raising tax rates. We're talking about let's take every single penny of profit that ExxonMobil and Walmart made. And that's $34 billion, which sounds like a lot of money. But if we start the clock at 12:01 a.m. on January 1st, taking every single penny that Walmart and ExxonMobil make gets us from midnight on January 1st till 9:52 in the morning on January 4th. So we've just taken all the money that these two enormous corporations make, and it got us, you know, 4 days. If you take all of the 498 top Fortune 500 companies, the other 498. That brings us another $357 billion. Again, we're not talking about raising the rates on these people. We're talking about taking every penny they have. So if we take every penny of that $357 billion, that gets us to 2 a.m. on February 9th. So we've taken all the money that the top Fortune 500 companies made in profit, every penny, and we're on just out of this first week in February.
Liberals would have you believe that America isn't broke. Where is all this money that Obama's talking about?
Well, I think the point of what we're trying to do with this video is to say that while there is enormous, needless to say, there are enormous reserves of wealth all throughout the country. You know, I don't know what our GDP is. I think it's something like $14 trillion. It's an enormous number. The fact is that this spending is unsustainable no matter where you get it from and no matter who you go to. So let's get off of the corporations for a minute. I'll get to the question. I think most of it's dispersed among mostly the middle class. And guess what, folks? When they're done with this rich warfare, defining people as rich as over $250,000, they'll just keep lowering that number until they've taken everything. So let's get off the corporations for a second. Let's say we want to go after, you know, rich individuals. If you take all of the money that the famous sports guys make, right? Let's say we take every single penny of these outrageous salaries that we pay Kobe Bryant and we pay all of our sports heroes. And by the way, I don't think they're outrageous. They're what the market will bear. But let's say we take every single penny of PGA Tour money, NASCAR money, all the sports money out there. That's $9.4 billion. That's not even a day. That's not even one day at our current spending levels. But if you really want to look at a significant chunk of money, let's take an example of what Barack Obama has just arbitrarily off the top of his head identified as the rich, right? We saw this in the 2008 campaign. Anybody making above $250,000 is a horrible, evil, rich, fat cat who needs to be taxed to redistribute his wealth. But if you only make $249,499, then you are, you know, a needy person in need of somebody else's help. So let's look at the income of families above $250,000. I won't break down the math for you, although we do it on the video. The total income in excess of $250K across America is $1.412 trillion, right? That's $1.4 trillion. That's a lot of money. But that only buys us 141 days. It's less than half a year. So we take all of the money, all of it, of these rich people, make everything above $250,000, just confiscate the whole thing, you get 141 days at the current burn. It's unsustainable. It is absolutely absurd.
What's the best solution to get us out of this debt crisis?
Stop spending so much money. We've got guys who are these politicians are utterly addicted to spending. They are, you know, when you run into people who have a serious addiction problem, whether it's gambling or whether it's cocaine or meth or crack or anything, when you run into an addict, the definition of an addict is somebody who will not stop no matter how much damage it does them. You see all the time people who lose their jobs, they lose their families, they lose their lives, they literally die because they just keep taking these drugs until they're dead, they can't stop. And I am utterly convinced, Michael, utterly convinced that Washington politicians are addicted to spending and they will not stop because they don't know how, they can't do it. And the only way to stop them is to tell them that they're out of money. And every time we do things like raise the debt ceiling, what we're basically doing is we're handing $100 to a coke addict and say, now you make sure you go out there and at 2 o'clock in the morning, like you say you're going to do, be sure you buy groceries with this stuff. It's just not going to happen. There isn't that much money anywhere in the world. There is not enough money in the world to pay for what we are spending.
Well, is there anyone in Congress who understands there's a real problem with their mad spending?
I think certain members in Congress understand the problem. I had a chance to listen to John Boehner speak in private, and he certainly impressed me that he understands that there's a problem. But, you know, when you look at the scale of these cuts, all of us are disappointed. And the story just broke yesterday that the actual cuts may be $300 million. It just makes you want to weep, Michael, you know? It's like when you tell these guys in Washington, it's like the end of Thelma and Louise, and we're all together as a country are heading towards this cliff, and here it comes. And we're getting closer and closer. We're going faster and faster. And then suddenly these guys in Washington say, hey, we're easing up on the gas just a little bit. Yes, we're still accelerating, but we're not accelerating as fast as we did a few days ago. And you just want to grab them by the neck and just smack them and say, guys, it's not a question of not accelerating. We've got to get the brakes on this thing, but they just don't seem to get it. The flip side of this, of course, is that while the American political class in Washington is so addicted to spending, the American people, because of this vote buying, mostly on the part of Democrats, will give you free candy in exchange for your vote. People in America have become utterly accustomed to getting stuff for free, and nobody wants to give it up. But it's going to end one way or another. We either build it down or it collapses. Those are our two choices. And if I was running the Republican message, I would stop letting these liars say the Republicans are trying to take away your Social Security and kill your children and murder your grandparents. If I was in charge of the RNC, I would say, wrong. The Republicans who are trying to get the budget under control are the only people here serious enough to say, if we don't build this thing down and make it work economically, it is going to collapse. We're the people trying to save this thing. It's the Democrats who are running this country off of a cliff and are going to take away Social Security because there won't be an economy anymore. And just to close this argument, the one thing we said after we got through our entire year by taking all the money from the rich, all the money from the corporations, took all the money in advertising, took all the money from private sports, took all the money from everything. We closed the war in Iraq. We closed the war in Afghanistan. Took all of that money. And we just barely made it through one year. Next year, we're looking at another $1.5 trillion deficit. But what do we do now? We've taken all the money. We've spent all the richest money. We've taken away all the capital to set up new businesses. We've taken away all of the money needed to keep the economy flowing. We've taken away advertising revenue. We've taken it all. We've scraped through one year. And now we have nothing left at all. We ate all the seed corn, and now we are screwed.
Bill Whittle, great article, and thanks for being with us on The Savage Nation.
Michael, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to be here. Like I said, I'm a big fan, and you can see this argument. You can see Eat the Rich. It's on YouTube. Google Eat the Rich, and it's on Bill Whittle channel. That's my channel on YouTube, and you can also see it on my own website, which is billwhittle.net. And thanks again for the opportunity. That's great talking to you.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
Get along with anybody. You have any friends at your age? What are they for? What is a friend for? You don't know what a friend... What is a friend for? Like at 9 years old, when you're in a polo shirt, when you're in a swimming pool, you need a friend. Or in day camp. What does a grown man need a friend for? Okay, you could have a golfing buddy, a shooting buddy. But what do you need a friend... What do you do with a friend? If you work hard, what do you need anybody for? I mean, during the day, I'm working on my novel in the morning. And I'm working on a nonfiction book. Before the show. Then I'm doing the show. By the time the show is over, my mind, my eyes are dead already. My eyes are gone. I'm fit for nothing but a fatty meal. In fact, I've shifted my diet, in case you're interested. Now, I am one of the world's leading experts in nutrition. I am. I don't care what anyone has to say about that. I am. I've written many books. I know. And for years, I was a fanatic. And I've lived as a result of it. I'm pretty sure I'm still living because of the years of fanaticism. I watched my cholesterol like a woman watches her waistline. Long before you even heard of that the eggs were bad, I wasn't. But as the years went on, and as knowledgeable as I am, I'm open-minded, and as newer knowledge emerged, we came to understand that cholesterol was not the culprit that the medical drug industry has sold it to be and to sell you drugs to lower your cholesterol, because many foods with cholesterol in them don't even raise your cholesterol levels at all. So then I started reintroducing eggs a couple of times a week. I really like eggs. And then I'll give an example. During allergy season, there's certain things I can't do. I can't eat fish, any fish products. And, of course, I know that fish is more beneficial with omega-3s, but there's a limit to – it's like fish oils. They come up on me. I hate them. I hate spend the rest of my life – burping up fish oil tastes everywhere I go. What's the point of eating a good meal if you want to, with like a certain amount of puke in your mouth from a fish oil? I'm sorry to be, I don't eat it. I can't take it anymore. I hate fish oil. I bought a brand on the internet that was supposed to be enteric coated, $33 a bottle. They said guaranteed not to have fish oil burp taste. Horrible. And all day long, 4 hours afterwards, that taste in your mouth, disgusting. You know what I mean? Is it worth living to have the taste of fish that is being served today in Asian restaurants in particular? You're better off eating a hamburger. Particularly, you know what I'm saying? Particularly, let's say you go and pick the meat yourself. You know, hippie meat that was grown happily and it died happily with a ribbon in its hair, dancing to the moon, jumping up to the moon and suddenly shot
with an arrow through the heart, didn't know it was even killed. That kind of hippie beef burger. Party on! It's the Obama years! Nero fiddled while Rome burned. It's hard to find the single word that defines the empty suit in the White House. And here's a new story about what he's doing in the White House. Nothing about Libya, nothing about the Hitler in Chicago, nothing about anything, but he's giving out awards to people who wrote Portnoy's Complaint, children's books. Obama White House to brew more beer. Caught the attention of several White House watchers that homemade beer was served at the White House Super Bowl party in February. Beverages poured during the party included the following beers. And they're using, to show you how organic they are, they're using honey that was raised at the White House itself. Honey from the White House beehive was used to make the first batch of homemade ale. Would the First Lady ever consider growing hops in her vegetable garden? Believe me, I've thought about it, said White House Assistant Chef Sam Koss. It has definitely crossed my mind. So this is a definite advancement to the presidency. They're brewing beer in the White House. Now, it sounds like a frat boy, like a frat party. Parties every night, brewing beer. Remember with Carter, I mean, if you were to name some brews that they make in the White House, Obama's brews. With Jimmy Carter, we saw Billy Beer. I guess with Obama, we could name it Silly Beer. Or some other names for the home brews could be Bolshe Brew. Or how about Leftist Lager? One at Lenin's Choice. Or perhaps Carl's Hefeweizen would be a big hit over there for the next Super Bowl party. Or if that's a little too esoteric, since the White House is now brewing beer, they can put one out called Barry's Brew. Or Ayer's Ale. How about that? A little Ayer's Ale? And finally, I could suggest another title for them, another label. Reverend Wright's Light. That would work. So we're trying to lighten it up a bit here because the news is so dismal. It's beyond belief. Obama has another party awarding the National Medal of Arts and the National Humanities Medal. Very, very noble of Kim. Headline in the local San Francisco newspaper, the San Francisco Communicle, says tax hike on rich appeals to voters. Now, of course, it's nothing but a propaganda rag put out by the lowest of the low. The paper loses about $1 million a day or a week. God knows, only know. It's nobody reads it anymore. Mine was found under my doorway today, and I looked at it, and I said, here we go again. And listen to the headline in this communist rag. Tax hike on rich appeals to voters. Strong bipartisan support for 1% increase poll shows. According to the poll, which was conducted by Democratic pollster Ben Tulchin, it gets better, and sponsored by the California Federation of Teachers. Now, I'm a former teacher, so it's hard for me to bash teachers. But, you know, the difference between me as a teacher and the current crop of teachers is like the difference between a Sheltie and a Collie. It's like a difference between a Mutt and Lassie. It's like a difference between a Mutt and Rin Tin Tin. These are not teachers. These are money-grubbing bums who don't want to work. They want to live like rich people without teaching the children how to read or to write or to add. And let me tell you something else. It's easy to say tax the rich, but California has the highest income tax that I know of in the country. It's now between 10 and 11% for the rich. So, of course, if you're a bum teacher who likes 12 weeks off, no one overseeing whether you're a good teacher or not, a nice fat pension at the end of the road, of course you'd like to add another 1% onto those who make more than $500,000 a year. And then when the rich leave California, which they will do in droves, why don't you lower it to those making $100,000 or more? But that would include you, the teachers, wouldn't it? What a bunch of garbage. But this is published by a newspaper that no one reads, as I say. So you take a look at who they polled. Who they polled is the California Federation of Teachers. Let me tell you something. You can straighten the budget out in the state of California without taxing the rich. Let's start by cutting off benefits to the non-citizens. Let's start by cutting out bilingual education for people who don't even belong here. How many billions would that save, Governor Brown? Here's a story out of Ontario that will kind of bring all of this down home. A Superior Court rules the Ontario Human Rights Tribunal hearing was unfair. Well, that's just the beginning of it. Here's the story. A black lady in Ontario had a Muslim maid working for her. The black lady, Maxine Telfer, was brought before the Human Rights Tribunal in Canada, who wanted to take away her house because she said that her Muslim maid's food smelled badly. They found her to be a racist. They brought the black woman before a human rights group of kangaroo monsters in Canada. The court said that, yes, you were a racist. We're taking away your house to pay the employee. And that's the end of the story. Now, the woman who lodged a complaint against this black woman, the Muslim, Seema Saidi, told the tribunal in Canada she felt pressured to not wear her hijab. She also said her boss, the black lady, complained about the smell of food that she warmed in the microwave. The three-judge Superior Court panel in Canada ordered the Human Rights Tribunal to hold a hearing, and they fined the woman enough money to take her house away. That's what's went on in Canada. Now, if you think that we're too far from that, you are mistaken.
Savage.